Paul says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I simply please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above mine equal in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brethren. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time toucheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and another time of study. And we pray as we study tonight, we'll be able to set aside the thoughts and the cares of this world. We'll be able to separate our thoughts of what your word has to say from perhaps what we have come to learn and to understand through tradition or through denominational study. And we pray that we'll be able to focus our mind and attention and see the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in the light and the glory, which is all his in the dispensation of the grace of God. And we'll give you the praise and glory for that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray, and for his sake, amen. Well, this passage that we read here is a very important passage in the book of Galatians. Previously, Paul had made some remarkable statements about his apostleship and his authority, also about his message and the accomplishments of Christ. First, he says in verse 1 of chapter 1, he says, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and as an apostle, who received his authority from both God the Father and the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ, Paul has a message to proclaim, a message about grace and peace and the accomplishments of Christ at Calvary." Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." You could say that the next few verses in this chapter could sum up the reason that Paul felt the need to write those at Galatia. In verse 6 it says, and we'll just read verses 6 through 9 to get the whole feel here. He says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Now, those are some pretty strong words, no doubt. And Paul's not fooling around. He desires everyone involved know the seriousness of this situation. First, there's an attempt to draw away those Galatians who had trusted Christ as their Savior through the ministry of Paul to themselves and to their message. He says, "I marvel," verse 6, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him," and as we were establishing last week, the Apostle Paul, "that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." What is at stake is the very message of the gospel. That and there's going to be a choice. They were going to have to choose. Was it as Paul preached, that Christ gave himself for our sins? Or was it the gospel message as preached by the legalists and the Judaizers that came to Galatia, who taught a message of salvation by grace through faith, perhaps, but then added necessity to keep the law, to do good works, and to be circumcised? To this the Apostle Paul replies, verse, so we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Of course, the message is clear. Paul is saying, regardless of who it is, it could be that someone comes from Jerusalem sent by the apostles. It could be an angel. Or it may be possible that I may come through, or someone else who has ministered with us may come again, and they may be preaching something different than what you learned while we were here before. It doesn't matter who it is. Don't believe them. Let them be accursed. Which does not mean that if they were a believer that God would send them to hell. It simply means that the Galatians were to ban them, to excommunicate them from their group, have nothing to do with them, if you will. And, you know, Paul had a similar message for the Romans. Look with me in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. This would be a part of the function and ministry of the local church to exercise judgment inside the local church. And sometimes, you know, there it comes to the point where we must separate, never something we would look forward to. But for the sake of the ministry, sometimes there needs to be such action. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And Paul, the idea of watching and protecting, he told the Ephesian elders, he says, you know, by the space of 3 years I warned you with tears, he says, that as he was fixing to leave, to be careful, because he knew that there were going to come attacks from within and from without. Now, Paul continues his thought here in Galatians chapter 1. In verse 10 he says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Boy, never let your thinking get far away from the fact that the Apostle Paul desired to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, from the very beginning, realized that his message was not going to make all men happy. In fact, he knew that there were going to be some that were not going to be pleased with what he had to say. But the lines had been drawn, and Paul knew he had to make a choice. Paul had to make a choice between God or men. Whose approval was Paul after? Well, Paul's answer was obvious, because Paul was a servant of Christ. He says, for I doubt, do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And because of that, people were against him. Look at me at the Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. Apostle Paul, talking to the Galatians, and he says in verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Can you imagine that the Apostle Paul was having that sort of reaction amongst those? In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 11, he says, and I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. All those who, for somehow, in some way, never grasped a hold of the fact that the Apostle Paul did not preach the same message as Peter, James, and John. He did not preach the same message as proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ while he walked on this earth. He did not preach the same message as John the Baptist. He did not preach a message that was about the good news of circumcision, as we'll see later on in chapter 2. He had a specific message, and he said, if I was preaching it, why am I suffering persecution? Because the persecution that the Apostle Paul, or much of what he suffered, was at the hand of his own countrymen who were rejecting his message. But if Paul wasn't preaching circumcision, what was he preaching? And Paul was preaching Christ, and he was preaching Christ and him crucified. Notice the first word of verse 11. He says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is going to make a point, and if you're here this evening with us and you have trusted the gospel, it was probably because someone, some man, some other person delivered it unto you. You, of course, could get saved, of course, from reading your Bible or picking up a tract that clearly talks about the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Some do, but not many. Most receive the gospel because someone comes and shares it with them, either in person, on the radio or television, books or a tract, but not for the Apostle Paul. There was not a man that the Apostle Paul received this message from. He says, but I certify, verse 11, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. In verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. And of course, not to add or take away from the scripture, but neither was I taught it by man. The Apostle Paul is going to go to some great lengths here to separate himself from the message that had all the messages about Christ that had been preached before him. He said it's vitally important that people realize that the gospel message that I preach, I got from a source. I didn't get it from reading the book. Paul did not get it from reading the Bible. The Apostle Paul received the message that he received by direct revelation from the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ as he spoke to Paul from heaven. So Paul received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, Christ personally revealed to Paul the gospel that he preached. But so we would say, does that make the gospel message Paul preached different? Well, Paul thought so, and absolutely. If Paul's message wasn't going to be different, why did it take a message directly from the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ? So Paul thought it was different. And here he shows the distinction by saying, the gospel which was preached of me. Verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Look at Galatians chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Who is Paul really separating himself from in the gospel messages that he was preaching? Going back to Matthew chapter 16, Peter had been given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. It was Peter upon whom the Lord had placed authority. And Peter was the leader of that band of apostles. And so the Apostle Paul was saying, listen, you know the gospel of the kingdom, you know that message, that good news of circumcision which is being preached. He says, that's not the gospel that I preach. I'm preaching something else. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And as he talks about that, it's a comparison with Peter's message. Peter's good news was that even though Christ had been unjustly crucified, we're not going to go right now to the book of Acts chapter 2, but the message there was that, as Peter would preach it, that even though Christ had been unjustly crucified, God had raised him from the dead, and he was raised him from the dead to have Christ sit on his throne. Look with me to Romans chapter 2. The Apostle Paul making some more statements of distinctions about his gospel. His gospel, his good news about Christ, in relationship to what others had been preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were different. Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 2, and in verse 16, 2:16, talking about in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, we live in a world and an age when we communicate by words and definitions of words. And words mean things, and you construct them in a sentence, and you put them in a context. And the words mean something. And Paul wants us to know the distinctiveness of his ministry and his message about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was not the same message as was preached by others. Look at Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. This fine treatise of the book of Romans coming to a close. And Paul says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. We've done many studies, and we'll probably do more, even in the book of Galatians, where we go back and we compare those time-sensitive words which point us directly to the message that's being talked about here. And Paul's talking about a message that was kept secret since the world began, but now is being made manifest, compared that with prophecy, and that which was spoken by all the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Paul's drawing that comparison between these two. Come back with me to the book of Galatians. The kingdom gospel, that gospel which was preached of Peter and James and John, that was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry, that which was preached by John the Baptist, that was a message where you must believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. That was the kingdom message. Galatians chapter 1, verses 12-14. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equal in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. The Apostle Paul just described someone who was involved in Judaism, one that was a rejecter of, no doubt, of Christ as Messiah. But it was these who were part of Paul's nation, who had been brought up under the law, and those who might even believe that Jesus was the Christ, were now trying to place men under a performance system to find favor with God. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, I've been there. There are sayings that I know about. And now Paul is going to give further proof that he did not receive his message from man, any man. For he declares, I was not part of that group. Verse 13, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He says, when that early kingdom church was being formed and established, that early kingdom church that we saw beginning with John the Baptist, but really coming to life and flourishing after the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ during the early Acts ministry of the apostles. What Paul says, you know, I wasn't part of that group. In fact, while that was going on, I was wasting the church of God. I was persecuting it, how that beyond measure, he said, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He said, y'all might remember my conversation or my manner of life in the Jews' religion. And what was characteristic of those in the Jews' religion is that they were Christ rejectors. They wanted nothing to do with him other than to kill him or anyone who was identified with him, even Paul. Or we could say especially Paul, because he says that he wasted it. You know, the first time we're introduced to Paul was while he was still being called Saul of Tarsus back in the book of Acts. Come to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, very interesting to me when what our introduction is to this man who's later going to be called the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 7, Stephen preaching to the nation of Israel here, going to call them to repentance, but he never gets the opportunity. We'll begin in verse 54. Speaking, this is the response to those that were hearing Stephen preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul, all known as Saul, and just Saul of Tarsus, one that was profiting in the Jews' religion, one that had beyond measure persecuted the kingdom churches that's being talked about here, and how he wasted it. He was a leader. He was on the fast track, if you will, to spiritual greatness. When it comes here, I think it's very significant. When they said in verse 58, and cast him out, that's Stephen, of the city, and stoned him, and the witnesses, those who were stoning Stephen to death, laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Why do you think they did that? They weren't just asking, I don't believe, for Saul to keep up with their coats while they go off and do this. I think they recognized who the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus was at that time. And I believe he was the one that had won death of Stephen. And then obedience to his authority, they, in deference to him, laid their clothes down and then carried out that deed. The Apostle Paul had a lot going on, if you will, all against the church there, the kingdom church. In Acts chapter 9, in verse 1 and 2, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. In recounting his past, the Apostle Paul had this to say. Look with me in Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. Acts 22 and verse 4. He says, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. And he was all out. He was a one-man mission to stop any of this witness and this worship of this man called Jesus. Come to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 11. He says, I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which things I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. You know, if you'd been living in the days of Paul, would you have wanted to share the good news of God's grace with him? You may have wanted to, but it would have meant your death. Remember Ananias, you know, shortly after Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, the Lord asked him to deliver a message to Saul. Look back at Acts chapter 9. And we'll read verses 10 through 14. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 14. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here, in this place, he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. So, what's changed? Why is it now safe to send Ananias to Paul? Why was it safe? Because Paul had met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and the Lord had revealed himself to Paul. Back over here in chapter 9, in verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near, this is Paul, Saul of Tarsus, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light upon him, and he fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Saul of Tarsus, Lord Jesus Christ, as his Savior that night. Come back to Galatians chapter 1. Where was the Lord Jesus Christ when he spoke to Paul while he's on the road to Damascus? He was in heaven. So he spoke to Paul by revelation. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. He says, For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion. But he says, I persecuted the church of God. And so, what church was Paul persecuting? Was it the one that Stephen talked about in Acts chapter 7? And we'll say, come back to Acts chapter 7. This is earlier in the address that Stephen had been preaching before he was stoned to death. Acts chapter 7 and verse 37 and 38. And he's talking about this to Israel. He says, This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall he hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, and so forth. So, it's not the church that Paul's talking about. Israel had not been in the wilderness for years. Since Joshua led the nation of Israel into the promised land after the death of Moses, So that's not the church. But how about this one? We mentioned it a little bit earlier. Matthew chapter 16. Come with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we'll begin reading verse 13, and we'll go down to verse 19. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And so we're talking about a church here in verse 18. He says it's my church. And what church is that? It's the church with Christ, where Christ sits on the throne, and where his 12 apostles, thrones, judging the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Come to Matthew chapter 19. In verse 28, Christ speaking to his disciples here, he says, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This is what the Apostle Paul, called my church of Matthew chapter 16. Because Matthew chapter 19 says, Matthew chapter 19 verses 27, verse 28, is the church, the one that sees Christ here on the earth, sitting on his throne in it. And that's Christ's church. The church where Christ would sit on his throne in Jerusalem, establishing Israel in the earth just as God had promised. The kingdom was always Israel's hope from the time that God called Abraham out from the Ur of the Chaldees to the time that Christ, of his death, burial, and resurrection, and right before his ascension. You know, the kingdom was that. Right before his ascension in Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. They asked him, "Lord, will thou at this time return again?" Without this time, I can't quote it now, I'm sorry. Romans, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. "Without this time restore again the kingdom to Israel." Where did the disciples expect that kingdom to be restored? Right here on the earth. Listen to what the Apostle Peter had to say on his second, the message after Pentecost. Acts chapter 3 and verses 19 and 20. Acts 3, verse 19 and 20. Peter's going to tell the nation of Israel what it's going to take for God to send his Son back to the earth to establish his kingdom. He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto thee," and verse 21, "whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Send Christ where? Well, he's in heaven, and God will send him back to the earth. And that is what the scriptures refer to the second coming of Christ. His second coming, his second advent, if you will, to the earth. Some people think that the kingdom church is the church of the age in which we are living today. But whereas the kingdom church had an earthly hope, The church, the body of Christ, has a heavenly hope, whereas the kingdom church has a hope of Christ returning to the earth to set up his kingdom. The church of this age, the church, the body of Christ, expects to meet the Lord in the air, and there we shall, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 15 through 18, he says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord shall shut him heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." The church, this church, is the church the Apostle Paul became the apostle of after he was saved, after he trusted Christ as his Savior on the road to Damascus. So it was the kingdom church that Paul was set out to destroy because he has not met the Lord on the road to Damascus yet. Galatians chapter 1. And verse 13. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. He says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God." We've gone all through all this to identify that the church the Apostle Paul was persecuting was the kingdom church. That's the one that Christ gave Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven for. Verse 14, it says, speaking of, continuing about Paul and his accomplishments now, it says, "And profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." It certainly seemed that Paul was on the fast track to political greatness. Paul was no upstart in the Jews' religion. He had had the best schooling. He studied under Gamaliel, and he had the best teaching and the best thing, and he had motivation. He had all kinds of things. He had an impressive pedigree. Come with me to Philippians chapter 3. Paul had a pedigree rivaled by few, I would suspect. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. He says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh," excuse me, "and though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." And then he goes on to say, "But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and count them all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ." You know, this is a most remarkable passage here. And put back in the context of Saul before he trusted Christ as his Savior, it makes it even more remarkable. Along and say, in verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Prior to meeting the Lord on the road to Damascus, all those things, all those parts of his pedigree, they were everything to the Apostle Paul. And now Christ becomes the issue. Verse 9, because he says, "And be found in him," wants to be found in Christ, "not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that we know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death." How things have changed. How things have changed for the Apostle Paul as he was on that fast track to greatness in the Jews' religion as he was rejecting Jesus as Christ, but met him on the road to Damascus, but not to pick up the kingdom gospel and the kingdom message, but to pick up a brand new message which was given to him because of the rejection of the nation of Israel. Why was Paul so zealous? Paul was so popular in the religious community because of his zeal. He profited more than many of his equals because of his zeal. But notice what Paul had a zeal for. Come back to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. His zeal was not for the Scriptures, although he no doubt knew them well. Paul's real zeal, his real passion, was for, as he put it, the tradition of my fathers. And that's a real problem. Come with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to read a few verses here, but they're good verses in getting the flow. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. Then came to Jesus scribes and the Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your tradition? For God commandeth, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye not made the commandment of God none effect by your tradition? Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And that's where Paul's zeal was really focused, on the traditions, protecting them, promoting them over the Scriptures. Martin Luther said a similar thing about his experience in the Roman Catholic Church. He said, In like manner, say I of myself, I was as talking about the laws of the Catholic Church, and he said the traditions of the fathers, as any ever were, maintaining and defending them as holy and necessary for salvation. Those who have stuck to traditions, especially those tradition of the churches who promote works for salvation and fellowship with God over the finished work of the Lord Christ Jesus. Come back to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So it seemed that Paul had the world by the tail, perhaps. How about now? Can you hear me now? We make a nice commercial here. All right. Praise the Lord. We're back. Anyone else? All right. We'll just keep going then. So it seemed that the Apostle Paul had the world by the tail. It seemed that there was nothing that he would not be able to accomplish, which is why it is even more astonishing that Paul ever came to the place where he would trust Christ as his Savior. Have you ever shared the gospel with someone who was prosperous? Someone who seemed to have it made in many ways? For the most part, it's hard for someone who has it all to realize that they too need a Savior. But that's what happened to Paul. Right when it seemed that Paul had everything, Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and he immediately asked, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do. And what was it that the Lord wanted Paul to do? Well, God did have a plan for Paul, Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. What was God's plan for Paul? It was God's plan to reveal his son in the Apostle Paul. God's plan was to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ through the life of the Apostle Paul. A plan that went all the way back to when Paul was born, and even beyond, for God would have had to know that Paul was going to be born. This tells us something. One, the final rejection of Christ by Israel did not catch God by surprise. For God had a plan that included turning the number one person against Christ to his number one supporter. Verse 15 and 16 talking about, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me and call me by his grace. Surely it was a demonstration of grace for the Lord to save Paul rather than just to kill him. I mean, that's what Paul deserved, but then again, that's what we deserve as well, isn't it? Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Apostle Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So God had more in mind with Paul. God was to use Paul as a pattern. In Galatians, Paul said, "When it pleased God to reveal his son in me, it was for this purpose." Come with me to 1 Timothy. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're right here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 7. Says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in verity." He says to be testified in due time. What time was that? When it pleased God to reveal his son in me. That's when it's due time. Paul, as the rejection of Christ by Israel was final at the stoning of Stephen, that was when the time was right for God to reveal his son in Paul. One more point here that we want to clarify, and that God did not violate in any way Paul's right to choose. That God had a plan for Paul from the time he was born does not mean that Paul was a robot. Paul had been making choices all of his life. His life was a demonstration of his free will. And when Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus, Paul once again uses his free will to choose to trust Christ as his Savior, just as we have the right to do as well. We can choose Christ like Paul did. And we can choose to be servants for Christ just as Paul. What does it take to be a servant of Christ? To be a believer and then to make the choice to serve him. Does God have a will for your life? And it's yes, he does. Verses 3 and 4. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." That truth which was revealed by revelation from the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. Well, just in closing, let's come back to Galatians chapter 1. It says for, verse 13, it says, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. That's where we'll pick up next week. Let's pray. Father, once again, we do thank you for your word, and we thank you for the examples and the testimonies of the Apostle Paul. We're thankful for the clarity of your word in describing to whom you're talking about and when you're talking about it, and our abilities to rightly divide the word of truth. We give you the praise and glory for all that's said and done now. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for his sake. Amen.